Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. I just say, hey guys, how you doing? Well, let me give you, being that the White House is empty and all the furniture is gone, I guess the Russians took everything in that last deal that the Senate, that last giveaway that the Senate made. Remember when you were a kid and your mother said, take some money out of a pocketbook and go buy a piece of candy, and you helped yourself to all the money and bought all candy? That is your tax-rich, squandering government. The only alternative to tax slavery is the operation that I am now endorsing, and that's Operation Half. How much do you need to pay your 90-employee staff, as Senator Schumer? Oh, ballpark, I would say I need $1 million until I need more. Well, here's $500,000 in dollars and the balance in pink slip. Welcome to Operation Half. How much do you need to bribe the PLO to be our friends this year, Secretary Clinton? Oh, I would say $10 billion should handle this installment. Sorry, charity begins at home. That $10 billion is needed to restore the Southern Coast economy and to get Americans back on their feet. How much do we need to subsidize the UN, who plans to destroy American freedom in a one low-life world government? Oh, we usually pay 22% of their good time costs, including nightclubs in New York. How about we send them 10 You Can Do It books and move those billions to pay for self-defense research products like Do Our Nukes Really Work? Bring back the neutron bomb, and sending the Pinta Nina and Santa Maria 2 to Mars so we can keep an eye on the bad guys, instead of helping the Soviets rearm by reducing our fight-back capability. Let's play Boy Scouts and be prepared. Besides, Marines should not have to wear makeup instead of camouflage. Oh, here comes Lieutenant Sessi in a wonderful Oscar de la Renta flak jacket. The flak jacket is characterized by a fitted bodice and a waistline leading to a very full skirt. Think Cinderella. In the next trip to London, take only 2 Secret Service agents and hitch a ride with Charles and Camilla. And while you're at it, bring back the statue of a real leader, Winston Churchill. And don't forget to send $10 to your brother out of your pocket so he can live out the year. Charity begins at home in your native land, Kenya, Mr. President. How much do you need to bribe the Turks to let us go through Turkey into northern Iraq, President Bush? Well, we put $8 billion on the table, and they won't let us land. Still, they want the $8 billion. Sorry, pal. No tiki, no berkey. Scoop up that $8 billion and pay $1 million per combat zone death benefit instead of $400,000. And call it the American Family Futures Fund. Tax-free, of course. And don't forget to throw in a free Harvard education front class room seat with a $10,000 bonus for straightening out physically straightening out communist professors. Whatever happened to taxation without representation reprisals? Have we forgotten the word, the magic word, you're fired? If you elect a loser who has a full term to hurt the country, once you realize your mistake, their term should be terminated. Employees get fired every day for inefficiency. How about a three-strike rule? Strike them once, strike them twice, and then boot them out the door. No more gravy trains. Sorry. Operation Half. Feed a cold, starve a tax cheat government. Never tax vital services, only luxuries. By the way, the jihad tax is up to $90 a barrel today. I guess the Saudis are getting ready for another 9-1-1. They've raised the rent. No tax on fuel until oil is $10 a barrel. No tax on communications. No tax on groceries, and that includes local sales taxes. Reduce fines by 50%. Most Americans cannot afford to take the time off to go fight fine injustice, and the government knows that. Settle for half to keep America free. Don't double the fines and then settle for half. We know that game. The real estate market took 20% cuts in asset value, but real estate taxes never went down. Operation Half is the answer. The Democrats wiped out the boating industry in the USA, and they did. They put a 10% luxury tax on boating, and all the big boat buyers said, I don't need to waste it. I don't need to spend that 10%. So poor John Kerry had to buy his sloop in New Zealand and hide it in boat tax-free Rhode Island. Did he vote for the boat luxury tax knowing he would never pay it? What is good for the tax slave is not good for the tax master. Limit the fee lawyers can skim in lawsuits to 5% of any settlement unless they're suing each other, and then the sky is the limit. Eliminate all middlemen in healthcare plans and pay the doctors directly in cash. Paperwork cannot be more than one page in large print. Get a 75% discount for signing hold harmless clauses. Well, it's an option. Politicians can only induce legislation that must be tattooed on their back. Senators eating for free at the good old boys' trough cannot sit down until they serve 6 homeless people at the same table. Welcome to the Party's Over Party. Operation Half is now in session. WWW Spirit of America Party Radio Show. Merry Christmas, everybody. And when a communist wishes you a happy holiday, fire back with Kyrie Eleison and 3 mea culpas. And don't forget to strike your breast 3 times. That really gets them. Especially the last mea maxima culpa. So, welcome. It's Christmas time. And let's see if we can cheer you up.
Is that you, Santa Claus?
Yes, I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing. But I pause because hang in my stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? Sure is dark out, ain't the slightest spark out on my clacking jaws. Who's there? Who is it? Stopping for a visit? Is that you, Santa Claus? Are you bringing a present for me? Something pleasantly pleasant for me. That is just what I've been waiting for. Would you mind slipping it under the door? Old winds are howling. Or could that be growling? My legs feel like saws. Yeah, my. Kindly will you reply? Is that you, Santa Claus? Yes, hang in the stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus? Visit. Is that you, Santa Claus? Oh, that Santa, you gave me a scare. Now stop teasing, cause I know you're there. We don't believe in no goblins today, but I can't explain why I'm shaking that way. Then I can see old Santa in the keyhole. I'll get to the car. One beacon I'll try there. Oh, oh, there's an eye there. Is that you, Santa Claus? Please, please, I pay to my knees. Say that's you.
Somebody was talking about the jobs, the shortage of jobs, and the diminishing of American industry, and one communist cucumber school educated person said, well, a lot of Americans are getting jobs in China because they're going over there to help the Chinese. Yeah, and I said, I said to the person who relayed the message to me, I said, tell them this. There used to be a company called Kaiser Steel out of California. They used to make ships that won World War II. And the Chinese bought the Kaiser Steel plant because Kaiser Steel couldn't afford to pay the OSHA fines and the EPA, live up to the EPA regulations. And they were accused of global warming. So Kaiser said, well, I guess we'll just have to go out of business. And what they did was they sold the steel plant to China, the steel foundry to China. And China sent over its workers, and they disassembled the plant in California, the home of Barbara Boxhead, and Uday Pelosi, who goes to Syria to lick the ankles of Bashar al-Assad once a week. And the Chinese completely dismantled the steel plant, and then they took it home to China, and they rebuilt it, reassembled it, and they pollute the Chinese air, which, by the way, the trade winds brings back to us. Yeah, and so somebody said the FCC is trying to seize the Internet now under orders from the Party of Death. And I say, and then somebody said, get rid of the FCC. Shut them down. And I said, you might as well shut down OSHA and the EPA, because they all hurt American business. So just my thought for today. Now, the Soviets in the Senate voted today to rule 67-28 to give Mother Russia superiority in the next war, which is coming when you least expect it. U.S. Senate roll a call vote on turning over a military power to the new improved Soviet Union was a Leninist success today. The vote was a 67 da to 28 niet. While we were watching out for Christmas Muslim bombs in train stations, the American people were nuked today by the new improved communist junta in the Senate. You remember when Bush came into the White House and the Democrat terrorists that were forced to leave pulled all the W's off all of the computer keyboards and typewriters? Do you remember that? Well, this is what this group of individuals did today, these has-beens that are being thrown out of office. This is what they did. This is their little W keyboard routine. I do not blame the Democrats for betraying the nation that they steal from. They signaled their true intentions 40 days before 9/11 in 2001, when they were led by Joe Liebowitz and voted to burn the flag SJR-7. Then 80% voted no life for American kids when they endorsed a full-time murder. Mao Zedong was more merciful. He allowed one kid per family to live. Flag burning and American baby killing go together like two straws in the cocaine, which they want to legalize. 4 days before, oh, by the way, the news is announcing, AIM is announcing tonight that that an evangelist wants to legalize a marijuana, a well-known evangelist wants to legalize marijuana, and I replied back, only in a suppository form, and he has to demonstrate it live on TV. I do not blame the Democrats for betraying the nation that they steal from. Four days before the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, bow your head, everybody, 67 Quislings bowed to Vladimir Rasputin and licked the jackboots of the upcoming conqueror. I used to believe patriotic Americans were outnumbered 51-49 in this country. It is worse than I thought. The Repuppy Party is infected with Manchurian candidates who have appeared above ground. Today they boldly struck a blow for U.S. defeat, now and in the future. If the Republican Party is to survive, a Tea Party-style purge must be visited upon the 11-14 who sold us out. They must be pushed out by impeachment. The country is bleeding too fast to wait for EMS to arrive on the next election cycle. The Cauldron Sisters of Maine must be removed as soon as possible before real Americans die in larger numbers. All of the national security that was won by 5 million fighting Americans, including George Patton, Douglas MacArthur, Harry Two-Bomb Truman, Curtis LeMay, Bull Halsey, Admiral Stennis and Rickover, add your favorite, Chesty Puller, John Bazelon here. All of the protection that was handed down to us to be continued has vanished. The proof of the pudding is a hole in the Pentagon and no Liberty Plaza. While money changes debate, who pays for what? The Temple of Freedom is being destroyed. And those who rob it from you and me have convinced us we still have it. The same Democrats who undermined the morale of the military fighting Bush says the Iraq War, saying the Iraq War was lost. That's Harry the Shoe Bomber Reed. And Dick stab an American in the back, Durbin, who also called Marines murderers, now want to turn Camp Lejeune into a sex shop along with Paris Island, Paris Perfume Island. What do you think General Patton would have done about the PC Muslim massacre at Fort Hood? What do you think Curtis LeMay would have done about hijacked planes taking down New York City? General Doolittle would have had a raid on Riyadh and taught the M&Ms. You know who the M&Ms are? That's mad and Muslim. What a real suicide bomber sounds like. Every product ever created since God did the world in a record 6 days has a creator accompanied by a certificate of origin. We know who our enemies are, where they live, including Osama bin Laden. A story came to mind about Patton, somebody told me. And I caught one about MacArthur on TV the other night. I'll share them with you. The American Army, Patton had pushed forward more than anybody else, and he was told to stop by Roosevelt. And I think they had to wait like 3 months for the Russians to come in and rape Berlin. And in the meantime, Patton's force was told to stand down. And they even deprived him of gasoline because he was moving too fast. They backordered his gasoline to slow him down. But here he is in his office, and in walks a Russian officer, a major or a colonel, and they're on the Elbe River. And the major, colonel, whatever he was, he walked right up to Patton, and he said, "I'm here to take the boats on this side of the river to the other side. They belong to us." And Patton turned to his staff and said, "Who let this guy in here?" And then he reached in his desk, and he pulled out a 45, and he put it on the desk. And he picked up the phone, and he said to somebody on the other end of the phone, "Activate the 4th Armored Division. We're attacking the Russians." And this guy turned 40 shades of gray. And beat it out of there. And that's how you deal with the Russians. So MacArthur's sitting in Tokyo in a staff car with a Russian general. And the Russian general turns to MacArthur. If you caught this on TV the other night, it was very interesting. The Russian general turns to MacArthur and says, we're getting ready to occupy Hokkaido Island. And MacArthur turns around to him and says, you cannot occupy Hokkaido Island because it is under the protection of the Supreme Allied Commander, who is me. And the general says, it belongs to us and we're taking it. And he says, the day that the Russians move on Hokkaido Island, I will arrest every Russian in Tokyo and throw them all in jail, including you, General. End of conversation. And that's the way you deal with the Russians. You don't say we're going to reduce our numbers of weapons, and you don't have to tell us how many you really have. The most dangerous enemy is right under our nose. Some have American citizenship but hold two or more passports. 40 days before, my theory on that is you pick one country and you live in it, and you throw the other passports away. Who can enforce that? I know the liberals will argue it can't be done. Well, you never can tell. What about the guys we catch? 40 days before 9/11, a carefree and gay Senate are throwing caution to the winds, heady in their accomplishments of seizing power from blind men who were not listening to battle camels stomping their way to a weakened America. Stopping first at the Beirut Marine Barracks with unarmed guards, Al-Khobar Towers, Tanzania and Kenya, throw in the unarmed U.S. coal in Yemen, the home of bin Laden's mother, and a Clinton-appointed ambassador who gave Al-Qaeda 14 days notice the victims were coming. Did I mention 1993 WTC Part 1, or as I call it, the Clinton Towers? All these notices were swept under a Persian rug while President Pinocchio Pants was getting the harmonica lessons in the Oral Office and earned $137 million in government service in the greatest of false economy since Bernie Madoff paid 2-for-1. We used to have in New York the USS Normandy, home ported on Staten Island. The Normandy had at least a 450-mile radar sweep that could track incoming planes and missile them down, just like the Vincennes did in the Persian Gulf. They condemned the Vincennes for shooting down an American passenger jet airliner heading for an aircraft carrier. You want some 9-1-1 hindsight? Sadly, a Chuck Schumer, a flag burner and a baby killer of record, who trained Anthony Weasel to do the same, voted to send the Normandy away, down to Virginia. And the home port was turned into a movie studio, probably making anti-American movies with lots of vampire sex, the new media religion. And here's a Chuck Schumer today taking credit for saving the lives of 911 rescuers. Him and, what's her name, Kirsten Killikid. You know, the two of them, how quick they are to grab the limelight. But nobody will tell you about the guy who opposed the package because it had $4 billion in lawyer's fees in it and got them removed and reduced the lawyer's fees to I think, a 10% cut. But nobody will tell you about that. They just want to make everybody look bad, but little Chucky Poo and Kirsten Killikid. But enough about we lost our country and we're never getting it back. The Tea Party is the Spartan 300 at the hot gates today. We sorely need their ability to awaken the nation. Don't give up, Tea Party. We got a lot of work to do because the West is asleep. America still lies in slumber deep. 90% of the country does not realize we're in the beginning of a 50-year war, 10 down and 40 to go. If North Korea comes into South Korea, you won't have to worry about global warming. And don't ask, don't smell. The military will demand a draft come back to field 500,000 troops initially. Do you know what the psychological test was in World War II? And if you had glasses, I don't think they took you. The psychological test was a one-line question. So do you like girls? Yeah, we're in trouble. You know we're in trouble. So, sadly based on the last attack lesson of 9/11, the responders were killed in less than an hour. Remember that. Everybody was crushed to death in less than an hour. Missile strikes throughout the land will make a record wartime of about an hour. On 9-1-1, the Pentagon, who signs off on billions in weaponry, did not have one Stinger sample to stop a plane that Rosie O'Donnell, the media's Secretary of State, did not see. Yet a jumbo jet as big as her mouth could fit into that hangar. I'll bet you Russia does not have to fire one missile. They only have to deliver them to their allies. The day you see Osama bin Laden standing on top of a Pakistani missile site, smiling, Allahu Akbar, you will know there is a diaper shortage in the USA. I often say, if you want to know who your real friends are, tell everybody you're broke and weak. Start with the UN. My headline says, Trojans bolster the defeat of the USA. The Democrats did not defeat the Republicans. The Seamancrats defeated the USA. To this day, Americans are afraid to call a Democrat a communist. When they see a Hollywood-designed communist, they see a poor people begging for bread being cut down in the street by the Tsar's Cossacks. Never forget that the same poor communists murdered helpless little Romanovs who were no threat to the party and threw their bodies down a mineshaft because they were afraid of children. But they hide the true meaning of communist, one who infiltrates another city, country and seizes it with the help of the duped. When I come back, I'll give you some population examples of countries that have been taken down by the communist.
We get through it in the end.
what's the definition of a communist? One who infiltrates another country and seizes it with the help of the duped population. Examples are Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Poland, East Germany, Ukraine, Albania, Romania, Bulgaria, and George Sorosville, to mention a few. Stalin scored more countries and longer than his blood brother and Goomba Hitler. A Trojan in today's jargon is a virus that enters your computer system and destroys your ability to function. Pretty much like the Chinese intelligence attack on the Pentagon last month for 3 hours. What? No lunchtime press release? Who forgot in the State Department to ask a PFC from a WikiLeaks not to ask and not to tell? And that not, the latest news in the CIA is, was it the CIA or National Intelligence? The head of it didn't know that there were 13 Muslim plots uncovered in London. And when they asked him, how come you didn't know, you know what he said? He said, nobody told me. Oh, man, are we in trouble? We in trouble. Doctor, can I get the injection now? 911, we could only scramble two unarmed planes who were told to wait at sea for further confusion. We could not scoop up people in cargo nets. We had no rescue procedures, and we still don't to this day. Have you seen them practice anything for tall buildings? All we could do was watch them dive and die. Did you know there are parachutes that can open at 100 feet? But don't tell our enemies how weak we are. They probably won't figure it out. They probably weren't even watching, clapping, or giving out Bill Maher PLO candy. The bad news is we haven't learned anything. I wonder if Osama bin Laden will teach us new tricks. Here is a reminder for the communists who say Iraq was the wrong war at the wrong time. Afghanistan was the right war. Dear communists, do you remember the eerie night of 9-1-1? Not a plane in the sky, a smoke, a vapor offering of scalded DNA rising to the heavens. 343 beepers crying for help, an entire nation who could not sleep, a generation of World War II heroes that felt shame and betrayal plus anger. No one, repeat, no one in the whole world could guarantee our safety. Saddam boasted of having WMDs. He bribed all our allies, including the entire UN and their phony weapons inspectors, some of whom were Americans. Bush had no choice but to send in our own weapons inspectors, mostly privates and corporals. Do you remember the battle dress on the first few weeks of the engagement? Did you see anyone without a gas mask? Why not? 5,000 gas Kurds in Halabja. As for Afghanistan, American bodies are being quietly slipped back home as Obama in 18 months surpasses Bush's KIA count of 8 years. Bush's KIA count in Afghanistan was 461. Obama is over 700. Six who were buried in the cover-up media, who classified them as NATO troops. That's the new trick now. They're hiding the casualties under the heading NATO. Everybody thinks NATO troops are Dutch. And now they're having hits on bomb hits by NATO planes. So we're becoming a sanitized nation. It won't be long before the Marine Corps is wearing blue helmets. Like I say, I expect the party of flag burners and baby killers to betray us, but I cannot allow the Repuppies to harbor Mata Harrys. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S, like Harry Reid. So here is a list of the 11 plus 3 who were afraid to vote. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to voting, not voting is not a category. Not voting is a bad, very bad sign. There should only be yays or nays, and that's it. There shouldn't be a category for not voting. We didn't send you to Washington to not vote. So, no excuse for not voting. Even death is no excuse. That vote should have been a pin note on a coffin pillow. So here's the 11 Quislings. Hedy Lamarr Alexander from Tennessee. He struck first for the Soviets. Bob Bennett from Utah. He also voted to burn the flag, Bob Bennett. Kit Bond from Missouri, the don't show state. It used to be the show me state. Now it's the don't show state. He called in sick with a faint heart. Son of Sam Brownback, not voting. We are not political. Ted Kennedy Brown from Massachusetts. Mike Savage is the only guy that nailed this guy coming out to shoot. He called it before anybody called it. He said, don't get your hopes up on this guy. He is Ted Kennedy. And sure enough, he is. He should be impeached for fooling the party. Thad Cochran from Mississippi. Old Thad voted to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11. Mississippi, I can't believe you'd send somebody like this to Washington to represent such a fine state. Corker is a corker. He arrived on the scene just to be mean. Suicide Collins from Maine starred with Olympia Snowjob and Arsenic and Old Lace. Sweet Sue played Lizzie Borden, took an axe and gave full-term kids 40 whacks. Maine should disband the Republican Party and take fresh tea with you and do without the bags. Greg in New Hampshire did not vote. Obama's first choice for Treasury Secretary. Never send this guy for ammo. He looks good, he sounds good, but he will not perform when America needs him the most. He pulls up lame at the post. New Hampshire had a hero, Bob Smith, who stood on Easter Sunday and tried to save Ileon Gonzalez alone, and they wouldn't let him on an Air Force base. And he was a senator. And they wouldn't let him on the Air Force base because they were doping the kid up and passing what was left over around. Yep. So New Hampshire Churchilled him. And then there's Isaacson from Georgia. How sad. He is burning Atlanta and he doesn't know it. 11, Richard Lugar from Indiana. He's as hot as a Nazi pistol. When it calls for worshiping the Democrat Iron Double Cross, Richard Lugar will be there. And Comrade Murkowski in Alaska is punishing all who dared ask, why her? The people have spoken, and all the missing ballots have been counted, except the ones the polar bears ate. She is punishing the Republican Party. If Russia was going to nuke the United States, she would vote for Monday. Here comes old Slash and burn Olympia Snowjob for her rating as a cauldron sister, see Susan Collins. And number 14 is Comrade Voinovich, who will be buried in Lemon's tomb. Every chance he got, he stiffed the Repuppies, and they came back for more. Freedom took a real beating today. This is the most damage inflicted on a weakened America by the demo-Leninists. Savage says liberalism is a mental disorder. He is right on the ruble. I say it is a Trojan virus. One day we will learn that many took money to betray us. Did I say bribe? No. Champagne contributions. America, get your neck ready. The blacksmith of subjugation is about to fit you for fetters. They will take your money too. Greenpeace is a dollar sign. One day they will seize your 401k and take your computer away. The siege of the Soviet Senate Duma resulted in a 67-28 slaughter. If the 14 Rosenberg babies who voted yay and not manned the barricades, the vote would have been 53-42. The Tea Party is the only way to take your country back, and Repuppies who can't be trusted must be busted. Either you are with us or you're with the Soviets. Every country who appeased an enemy ended up being absorbed and enslaved. And if you don't believe me, then go to a high-crime neighborhood apartment house and sell diamonds door-to-door. Keep it up, comrade. Soon you will work for the government of communist czars and the FCC who rules by fiat. Every day when you get out of the gulag, get up. out of the Gulag barracks, a bunk, at 4 a.m. Soviet time, you will hear the words, "Surf's up." S-E-R-F-S. You lost your country, you gave it away to the Trojans. And final note, not one opposed surrender. How do you like that?
Oh,
Okay, we're back.
Somebody who I love gave me a book of quotations. It's entitled The Quotable Founding Fathers. Man, I'll tell you, they should be reading every one of these quotations in every communist cucumber school in the land. They have quotations for everything, from age and aging to picking a wife. And here are some of the quotations.
This is on age and aging. Life is sufficiently short without shaking the sand that measures it. All young people should hear that one. That's from Thomas Paine. I like Thomas Paine. I'm starting to become a fan. I find as I grow older that I love those most whom I loved first. Thomas Jefferson. I'm going to stick to the, I don't want to get to the long ones. I want to do only short ones. Let me see here. This is a good one. This is from John Adams. I have lived in this old and frail tenement a great many years. It is very much dilapidated. And from all that I can learn, my landlord doesn't intend to repair it. How's that? Huh? Does that sum it all up? And you know who the landlord is, right? Whenever a man's friends begin to compliment him about looking young, he may be sure that they think he is growing old. That's from Washington Irving. Here's on agriculture and farming from Thomas Paine. The first useful class of citizens are the farmers and cultivators. These may be called citizens of the first necessity because everything comes originally from the earth. I hope someday or another that we shall become a storehouse and granary for the world. That's George Washington to the Marquis de Lafayette. Here's one from Jefferson. I think our governments will remain virtuous for many centuries now, within 2.5. As long as they remain chiefly agricultural, and this will be as long as there shall be vacant lands in any part of America, when they get piled upon one another in large cities as in Europe, they will become as corrupt as in Europe and go to eating one another as they do there. How's that, huh? Guy knows. They got it, even for alcohol and drunkenness they have. He who spills the rum loses that only. He that drinks it often loses both that and himself. That's from Ben Franklin. He that drinks fast pays slow. Drink does not drown care, but waters it and makes it grow faster. And here's one about ambition. While avarice and ambition have a place in the heart of man, the weak will become a prey to the strong. Listen to that one again. The weak will become a prey to the strong. Anybody who thinks they can negotiate a missile treaty with the Russians is living in another world. You know what world they're living in? They are a passenger on a hijacked plane with 2 minutes to go to crash time. Negotiating with Khalid the Virgin counter at the cockpit door, on their knees, steeped in pilot blood, thinking they're going to convince Khalid to turn the plane around. And you know what Khalid's answer was when that happened? Shh, shh, it's okay. We're going back to the airport. I am not an ambitious man, but perhaps I have been an ambitious American. I have wished to see America the mother church of government. Thomas Paine. May we ever be a people favored of God. May our land be a land of liberty, the seat of virtue, the asylum of the oppressed, a name and a praise in the whole earth, until the last shock of time shall bury the empires of the world in one common undistinguished ruin. That's John Warren, and that was his oration at the Boston Massacre. I am not a Virginian, but an American, Patrick Henry. America is a great unwieldy body. Its progress must be slow. It is like a large fleet sailing under convoy. The fleetest sailors must wait for the dullest and the slowest. That's John Adams. John Adams wrote Abigail. I'm pretty sure it was him. I think it was him, or it could have been James Madison. They were in the White House for the first time, and it was a cold, dreary night, and the place hadn't been finished yet. And he said, "May only good and honest men reign here." And look what we've had. Look what we've had. Young man, there is America, which at this day serves for little more than to amuse you with stories of savage men and uncouth manners, yet shall, before you taste of death, show itself equal to the whole of that commerce which now attracts the envy of the world. That's Edmund Burke. The cause of America is in a great measure the cause of all mankind. Thomas Paine. This one I like from Paine. America is her own mistress and can do what she pleases. And they want to put shackles on you, man. They want you to be a UN flunky. This continent is too extensive to sleep all at once and too watchful, even in its slumbers, not to startle at the unhallowed feet of an invader. Well, you know what, Tom Paine? I think you'd be sick if you seen what's happening today. What charms me in America is that all citizens are brethren. That's the Marquis de Lafayette to his wife. Here, individuals of all nations are melted into a new race of men whose labors and posterity will one day cause great changes in the world. That's by Michael Guillaume Jean de Crevecoeur. He wrote some nice things about us. It's called Letters from an American Farmer. America is a new character in the universe. She started with a cause divinely right and struck at an object vast and valuable. Her reputation for political integrity, perseverance, fortitude, and all the manly excellences stands high in the world. Look what we've done to ourselves. Look what we've allowed to infect us. There's more than one kind of virus. And the reason that we are not a melting pot anymore is people are asking for separate dishes. And those who divide us will destroy us. Our number one goal should be the strong must always defend the weak. And the number two goal is do not let anybody divide us under any pretense. At this auspicious a period, the United States came into existence as a nation, and if their citizens should not be completely free and happy, the fault will be entirely their own. George Washington. Yep. So let me give you another Christmas tune. We've got 33 minutes left, so we'll hit on a couple of good things here.
Bani, Bani, captive Israel, send more.
Here is one that you hear all the time, and it's the right to bear arms. And what the left has done, the communists have done, is they have distorted the verbiage in the Constitution, and they are trying to convince by lying that the right to bear arms was only for a well-regulated militia, and that and the individual doesn't have the right to bear arms, which is a complete lie and falsehood. And here are the exact words from the Bill of Rights Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, comma, being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Let me say it again. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. Let's see what somebody else said here. Patrick Henry. Oh, sir, we should have fine times indeed if to punish tyrants it were only sufficient to assemble the people. Your arms wherewith you could defend yourselves are gone, and you have no longer a democratical spirit. Did you ever read of any revolution in a nation brought about by the punishment of those in power, inflicted by those who had no power at all? There you go, right? Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. And you know what? We had a visit from a friend today who just came back from Europe, and she said the reason that they all get along is because they have no guns. And I said, do you know what a muff pistol is? And she said, what? I said, that's a pistol that women used to keep in their muffs. You know, the muffs that keep their hands warm. And I call it instant 911. Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom of Europe. The supreme power in America, it cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be, on any pretense, raised in the United States. That's by Noah Webster. How's that? Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed. Never let them take your weapons away. And I got to tell you, girls out there, girls, you've been conditioned by the communist cucumber school people to be afraid of weapons. Do not be afraid of weapons. Learn how to use them. Learn how they work. One day, somebody else's life may depend on your ability to pull a trigger. One day, you may have to call on your own knowledge. If you're in a plane and somebody's grappling, an airline stewardess is grappling with a Muslim terrorist gunman, and the gun falls out of his hand into your lap, what are you going to do? Hand it back to him? Or give him 9 for 11? Okay. So having said that, we're now going to go to, I'll give you a tune, and when we come back, we'll talk about marriage in quotations about marriage. I know the women love that. And I'll also tell you about something that men are afraid to mention, but there is such a thing as battered husbands. I know guys that are in the battered husband protection program right now. What do you want to hear? You want to hear White Christmas, or will somebody accuse me of racism? You want to hear, let's see, I thought I seen, oh, we did that one already. We'll do White Christmas. Aha, I got one for the end that you'll like. Oh, I got two for the end that you'll like. Okay, here we go. White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops listen and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, the snow.
Guys in the 16th and the 17th centuries. Here's William Penn, Some Fruits of Solitude, it's called. A husband and wife that love and value one another show their children that they should do so too. Others visibly lose their authority in their families by their contempts of one another and teach their children to be unnatural by their own examples. If love be not thy chiefest motive, thou wilt soon grow weary of a married state and stray from thy promise to search out pleasures in forbidden places. They that marry for money cannot have the true satisfaction of marriage, the requisite means being wanting. And this one, that's all William Penn. And this one is, grief often treads upon the heels of pleasure. Married in haste, we oft repent at leisure. Some by experience find the words misplaced. Marry at leisure, then repent in haste. That's Ben Franklin. Where there's marriage without love, there will be love without marriage. You cannot pluck roses without fear of thorns, nor enjoy a fair wife without danger of horns. When I first got married, an old Italian guy says, oh yeah, they're so beautiful now, but after you're married, they grow horns and breathe fire. And keep your eyes wide open before marriage and half shut afterwards. That's Ben Franklin again. And he was known as a very romantic guy. One good husband is worth two good wives, for the scarcer things are, the more they are valued. And that's Ben again. I have often always considered marriage as the most interesting event of one's life, the foundation of happiness or misery. That's George Washington. And here's Thomas Paine. It's a long one. We'll read it. When I see my female friends drop off by matrimony, I am sensible of something that affects me like a loss, in spite of all the appearances of joy. I cannot help mixing the sincere compliment of regret with that of congratulation. It appears as if I had outlived or lost a friend. It seems to me as if the original was no more, and that which she is changed to forsakes the circle and forgets the scenes of former society. Felicities are cares superior to those she formerly cared for. Create to her a new landscape of life that excludes the little friendships of the past. It is not every lady's mind that is sufficiently capacious to prevent these greater objects crowding out the less, or that can spare a thought to former friendships after she has given her hand and heart to the man who loves her. Thomas Paine was quite a guy. I got to learn more about him. When divorces can be summoned to the aid of levity or vanity or of avarice, a state of marriage frequently becomes a state of war. James Wilson. Oh, here's Thomas Paine again. 700 wives and 300 concubines are worse than none. And however it may carry with it the appearance of heightened enjoyment, it defeats all the felicity of affection by leaving it no point to fix upon. Well said, Tom. Well said. It is mad. This is now, we're going to a memory. We're going to mercy and compassion. And here's Paine again. It is the madness of folly to expect mercy from those who have refused to do justice. There you go. There you go. Okay, we'll give you a tune. I'll scout around and we'll give you some more quotations. Let's see what We Three Kings sounds like. We are back. What else you want to talk about? Political parties and factions to secure the public good and private rights against the danger of faction, at the same time to preserve the spirit and form of popular government, is then the great object to which our inquiries are directed, James Madison. And today it's, I did not have sex with that woman. I wasn't pointing at her. I could never do anything but was ascribed to sinister motives, John Adams. Within the local limits, parties generally exist, founded on different sorts of property, even some on divisions by streets or little streams, frequently on political and religious differences. Attachments to rival individuals are not seldom a source of the same divisions. In all these cases, the party animosities are the more violent as the compass of the society may more easily admit of contagion and collision of the passions. And according to that violence is the danger of oppression by one party or another, by the majority on the minority, James Madison. And you know what? We just rescued ourselves, thanks to some decent voters. We rescued ourselves from a three-party junta. You had the House, the Senate, and the executive and the presidency, all from one party. That should never be allowed ever again. I don't care which party it is. Never allow one party to hold all three branches of government. Make that your cardinal rule. Pick the best men for the job. And some Republicans don't deserve to be called Republicans. They're really Democrats who just couldn't get the nomination from the Democrats. And there are Democrats who are Republicans in spirit, and they should be in the Republican Party and take their chances. I must heartily wish the choice to which you allude, his election to the presidency, may not fall on me. If I should conceive myself in a manner constrained to accept, I call heaven to witness that this very act would be the greatest sacrifice of my personal feelings and wishes that I ever have been called upon to make. George Washington. That's old Georgie. And they don't even want to give him a birthday anymore. They want to lump him in with Pharisees. The American Revolution, or the peculiar light of the age, seems to have opened the eyes of almost every nation in Europe, and the spirit of equal liberty appears fast to be gaining ground everywhere. How true. The French took our lead from the American Revolution. Unfortunately, they killed the wrong Frenchman. Never trust a country that kills its patron saint. And the Irish rose up in the men of 1798. They rose up, United Irishmen, Catholic and Protestant, rose up together to get rid of England. And they couldn't do it. They didn't have what we had. But then again, the Irish Sea isn't as wide as the Atlantic Ocean. And Britain was right there to sit on their necks. And it took them 500 years to get their freedom. 500 years. And today they're still six counties short. And don't let that happen to us. Ooh, here's a Boston Massacre oration. The voice of your father's blood cries to you from the ground. My sons scorn to be slaves. In vain we met the frowns of tyrants. In vain we crossed the boisterous ocean, found a new world and prepared it for the happy residents of liberty. In vain we toiled, in vain we fought, and we bled in vain. If you, our offspring, want valor to repel the assaults of our invaders, stain not the glory of your worthy ancestors, but like them, resolve never to part with your birthright. Be wise in your deliberations and determined in your exertions for the preservation of your liberties. And you know what? We got a generation that doesn't know what they lost. You see, you never miss what you never had. Follow not the dictates of passion, but enlist yourselves under the sacred banner of reason. Use every method in your power to secure your rights. At least prevent the curses of posterity from being heaped upon your memories. That's by Joseph Warren, who nobody knows, right? But he was a Tea Party member. Yeah, that's a famous Tea Party members. So a thought came in and out of my mind. I forgot. Hang in, I'll give you another tune. Search and seizure. One of the most essential branches of English liberty is the freedom of one's house. A man's house is his castle, and while he is quiet, he is as well guarded as a prince in his castle. The poorest man, that's by James Otis. The poorest man may in his cottage bid defiance to all the force of the crown. It may be frail, its roof may shake, the wind may blow through it, the storms may enter, the rain may enter, but the King of England cannot enter. All his forces dare not cross the threshold of a ruined tenement. The general warrants where an officer or messenger can be commanded to search suspected places without evidence of a fact committed, or to seize any person or persons not named, or whose offense is not particularly described and supported by evidence, are grievous and oppressive and ought not to be granted. Virginia Declaration of Rights. It is wise not to seek a secret and honest not to reveal one. Oh, somebody ought to tell that to WikiLeaks. Only trust thyself, and another shall not betray thee. That's William Penn. If three may keep a secret, if two of them are dead. Benjamin Franklin. Where information is withheld, ignorance becomes a reasonable excuse. They see not, and therefore they feel not. And Thomas Paine. A government or an administration who means and acts honestly has nothing to fear and consequently has nothing to conceal. Thomas Paine. That's from his Common Sense on Financing the War. There are cases in which silence is a loud language. You know, I had a thought and an experience. Have you ever had the experience where somebody says something to you that you completely disagree with, and you say nothing, and he takes your silence as acceptance? Is that a common mistake among people? I had a lawyer overcharge me, and I didn't say anything. And I got the feeling he thinks that I agreed with him. But then I said, I am not happy. But it didn't do me any good because he still banged me. And the less you have to do with lawyers, the better off you're going to be. That you can take that from Uncle Tom in the bunker. The less you have to do with lawyers, the better off you're going to be. And don't ever think that you're going to get your day in court. Do not look forward to your day in court. And if you are part of a lawsuit and you unjustly receive money, you've committed a sin. Now, Benjamin Rush on slave keeping. Slavery is a hydra sin and includes in it every violation of the precepts of the law and the gospel. So the gospel was invoked to free the slaves. And here we have communists who want no gospel. Does anybody know why poinsettias have become a symbol of the Catholic religion and have been banned from schools? I got to check that out because nobody has the answer. Here's Benjamin Rush again. Ye men of sense and virtue, ye advocates for American liberty, rise up and espouse the cause of humanity and general liberty. Bear a testimony against the vice which degrades human nature and dissolves the universal tie of benevolence, which should connect all the children of men together in one great family. The plant of liberty is of so tender a nature that it cannot thrive long in the neighborhood of slavery. How true. Benjamin Rush, 1773. So in 1773, as we hadn't even signed the Declaration of Independence. We were trying to do the right thing. Many of us were trying to do the right thing. The chosen race eat, drink, and live happy, and while the unfortunate one grubs up the ground, raises indigo, or husks the rice, exposed to a sun full as scorching as their native one, without the support of good food, without the cordials of any cheering liquor. Yep. The principles of liberty have to be embedded in all of us. When you come here, become American. Slavery is a dark cloud on the land. Taxes, here we go, taxes. Let these truths be indelibly impressed on our minds, that we cannot be happy without being free, that we cannot be free without being secure in our property, that we cannot be secure in our property under a system of taxation without representation. And that's what you have today. You do not have representation in Congress or the Senate because special interest groups have bought your vote and sold it. Okay. The genius of liberty reprobates everything arbitrary or discretionary in taxation. Taxes on consumption are always least burdensome because they are least felt and are borne too by those who are both willing and able to pay them. That all taxes on consumption, those on foreign commerce, are most compatible with the genius and policy of free states. That's James Madison. so taxes have always been a problem. In New York, the Stamp Act was printed and cried about the streets under the title The Folly of England and the Ruin of America. An unlimited right to tax implies a right to destroy, Daniel Webster. And the government has, they have sneak taxes that you really don't see and feel. And they come in the way of fines and penalties. I say the day is coming when your toilet paper roll will have a meter on it. And if you want to use the bathroom, you have to go up there with quarters. And once a week, a meter maid will come in the house and empty it. And if they find out that you've been tampering with the meter, they will put a boot on your toilet seat. And 2 weeks later, a tow truck will tow away your toilet. Vengeance and revenge. Oh, that's an interesting one, huh? Virtue and vice. The good old Dominion, the blessed mother of us all, Thomas Jefferson. What is serving God? It is doing good to man. Benjamin Franklin. Truth, honor, and religion are the only foundation to build human happiness on. They never fail to yield a mind-solid satisfaction, for conscious virtue gives pleasure to the soul. Nathaniel Green. The happiness of man, as well as his dignity, consists in virtue. John Adams. Few men have virtue to withstand the highest bidder. George Washington. The Japanese have a saying, a man is innocent until a man is honest until he gets the chance. It requires time to conquer bad habits, and hardly anything short of necessity is able to accomplish it. George Washington. War. Instead of adoring a Washington, mankind should applaud the nation which educated him. I glory in the character of a Washington because I know him to be only an exemplification of the American character. John Adams. George Washington, commander of the American armies, who, like Joshua of old, commanded the sun and moon to stand still and they obeyed him. Benjamin Franklin. Toast at the state dinner in France in 1784. So he was toasting his president. The father of his country. Washington errs as other men do, but errs with integrity. Thomas Jefferson. The character and services of this gentleman are sufficient to put all those men called kings to shame. He accepted no pay as commander-in-chief. He accepts none as president of the United States. Stand with Washington. Thomas Paine, The Right of Man. Wow, unbelievable. Oh, you want to hear about women? How much time we got left? We might be running out of time. Let me take a look. The show is on but not streaming. Okay, we're finished. Wish you a Merry Christmas, guys, and until we meet again, as the Arabs say, when the stick in the sand is equal to its shadow, it's 3 o'clock. Take care.